All eyes on Israel. Is that easy to say? I believe it is. Because as Israel goes, so goes the world. And so this morning we're going to continue our study in the Revelation. But as we continue our study, we're going to be focusing in on chapter 12. But to kind of get the mindset, we need to understand who our enemy is. And our enemy, if I said his name, you'd know him. If I said Satan, you'd understand that. But sometimes we need to open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up the Bible so that we can get mentally, spiritually, and physically prepared to fight the battles that are before us. In fact, if I were to carry you back tonight to December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor that day. And after that, General Douglas MacArthur said these words. He said, "We have begun an 11th hour struggle to build up force to repel an enemy. Washington had to come to realize the danger too late." But within 72 hours, the FBI had gone across the land and began to put people in incarceration, many of them without reason. But yet they had to move so fastly that to squash any type of programs or any type of attacks that would hit our Gulf Coast, not our Gulf Coast, but our coastal cities, or maybe those who were making airplanes. They had to move in, and they had to move in fast because the nation was at war. When we begin to settle down and understand that we have an enemy, then we begin to think, "Hey God, what's going on now? I want to know what's happening in my world." That was December the 7th, 1941. But what about today? What about September? What about the year 2000? Lord, what's going on? So in order to get that barometer, in order to get that little temperature gauge going, in order to see what's happening, we really have to focus and view back on the nation of Israel, and we have to speak, why do I love Israel? Because you will understand why we should love Israel as this day develops, as this message develops. I do love Israel because God loves Israel, and I love who God loves. I hate Satan because God hates Satan, and I hate who God hates. And so therefore, we are coming together. We'll begin to focus our idea here just for a moment on the land of Israel, because Israel is 100% of biblical prophecy. Israel is on the front page of almost every, not almost every newspaper, but on almost every paper, you will find articles about the nation of Israel. In fact, I asked Jeeves this morning. Y'all know what Ask Jeeves is? That's about like Google. New terminology. If I'd have told my granddaddy, "Hey, granddaddy, have you Googled lately?" I can imagine what he'd probably turn over in his grave right now. Say, "Google, boy, what are you talking about?" But you know, we have a different terminology today. We Google, or we do all kind of stuff. But anyhow, when I looked it up, the first one that came up is Israel protests that Iran can't preach morality. And then it said 17 articles in the Gulf Times and Tarot and Iran Mania. And it goes on and on. So my point being is that all across the nation, all across the world, what you're going to do, you're going to be hearing about what's going on in Israel and how that they are affecting world opinion, or how they are affecting your life, and also how they are going to affect the future. Now, when I was over in Israel, I remember asking one of the military leaders. He was a high-ranking military leader. He was the guide of our bus. And I said, is Israel more a religious nation, or is it more just a nationalistic nation? In other words, just the people. And he said, nationalistic. It's not religious. And so therefore, that's what he understands. And probably a lot of truth be known. That's where their minds are today. But I got some good news. As this develops, you're going to begin to see that there will only not be just a nationalistic nation, but they will be a people of faith when this period of time comes. But you have to see it. You have to see it come out of prophecy as it begins to develop. So let's look in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, who are we talking about? First of all, let's focus on that element of the support of Israel, or Israel being of special favor. We have to ask ourselves the question, who is this woman? Well, Scientology will say it's Mary Baker. And then there are those who say, no, it's not Marietta Baker. No, they would say, no, this is the Virgin Mary. But it's not the Virgin Mary, because the woman is going to give birth in the giving of this child. And some say, no, this is the church. Well, it's not the church, because Jesus came, Jesus was born, and then Jesus gave birth to the church. Well, who is this? When we look at prophecy as it unfolds right here, this woman represents Israel. So therefore, when we begin to think along that line, some things begin to fit together. Well, where do you get that from? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 37, Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, Joseph's prophecy, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obstinance to me. So therefore, in Joseph's prophecy, it talked about, well, Joseph was the 12th of the stars, and so therefore we're seeing this come into picture, and then God, we see, is married to Israel in type form in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 5 and 6, for thy maker, that's God, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall be called, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou hast refused, saith thy God. So what is God trying to bring us into focus here? He's trying to say, look guys, I've got a special relationship with the nation of Israel. Is it because of who they were? No, it's because I chose them. I selected them, and we'll see that back in Genesis chapter 12 in a little bit. But God gave us, out of the nation of Israel, He gave us the Messiah, Jesus. Jesus was Jewish, a Jewish Messiah. Israel has been called by God. God ordained Israel, and out of Israel, those prophets, we find a Jewish book. And this Jewish book we call the Bible. So through Israel, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, you want to know one of the reasons why I believe that God is blessing America? It's because America is blessing Israel. Now, it's not always been that way. I remember looking back in the ancient times in history, in some communities, it used to say no dogs and Jews allowed in some neighborhoods. Things have changed considerable. And now today in this world, the United States is one of the few friends that Israel has, and the United States is maintaining its strength economically and militarily. And a major portion of that is because God said this. He says, I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. All you have to do is look at Germany. Nazi Germany, when Hitler was there. They fell when they cursed Israel. They killed 6 million Jews, but yet, ultimately, they fell in that. Now, what we're seeing develop right here is not only is there this affectionate love, but we also see Satan come along into this picture, and he seeks to sabotage the whole thing. Look in verse 3. And there appeared another wonder. Who was the first wonder? Who was the first wonder woman? Israel. Okay, Israel was the first wonder woman. Now we got another wonder coming up, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a child who was made to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath prepared a place of God, or where a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, capture the picture. Who do we have? We have a Wonder Woman, but now we have a Wonder Man. The Wonder Man is called the Red Dragon. And who is the Red Dragon? The Red Dragon is none other than Satan himself. So because Satan himself is there, all of a sudden this Red Dragon, he is a dreadful, he's a foe of the devil himself is now attacking, and he's going to attack in two different realms. We're going to see he's got earthly power, and then we're going to see he had some heavenly power for a period of time. Look at this. In verse 3, it says this Red Dragon had 7 heads. Remember the number 7? The 7 is the complete number. So therefore, this dragon, Satan, had this power that was behind him. 7 heads, a perfect number, a completeness of power with that of evil. And then it had 12, it says, 7 and 10 horns. 10 horns. Horns in the Old Testament always signified power. 10 was the number intensified. So now we got complete power. We got completeness in power. He's evil. We've got a complete number in power, the number 10, and therefore it is intensified. So the Red Dragon, with intense power, and he's got 12 crowns, and the 12 crowns, that's diabolical power, thinking about the government. Satan now is a powerful being, Red Dragon, with complete power. In 1 Corinthians, he said that he is the God of this world, the prince of the air and the God of this world, little g, okay, but prince of the air and the God of this world. So therefore, this Red Dragon now, he is there. He is a dreadful foe, but what happens to him? The Bible teaches us that this rebel, he rebelled, well, verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. Satan comes along, and he rebels against God. Well, how did he do that? Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits. What happened? Satan said, I will. And God said, no, you won't. Satan rebelled. And he took 1/3 of the angels of heaven, and they rebelled against God. And these 1/3 of the angels, they are known as demons today. That sounds kind of eerie, doesn't it? 1/3 of the angels. But let me give you a little bit of good news. 2/3. 2/3 didn't fall. What does that mean? We got 2 good angels for every bad one. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And folks, we have a mighty force right here. So therefore, hell is going to be the destiny of Satan, this red dragon, and all those fallen angels, these demons. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then thou shalt say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hey, by the way, if you go to hell, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you go to hell, you will be an intruder. Hell was never designed for you. Hell was designed for the fallen angels. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will ultimately go there, and they're in this place. So now we have this red dragon. He has rebelled against God. He is a rebel. He's been kicked out one time, but what does he do? He rages war with Jesus. Satan wants to destroy Jesus. That's been his motivation. Let me give you a verse. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus shall bruise the head of Satan, the death blow, but we also see it, Satan shall bruise his heel, and that's exactly what he did on Calvary. He bruised the heel of Jesus. Now, Look at this thing. As it begins to develop right here, how do we see it working? We got a wasp up there, so y'all go ahead and watch it the rest of the time, okay? Everybody turn and look at that wasp. Well, we can get that thing over with. It's going to get a dive bomber. One of Satan's demons in there. Mom! Okay, now we all got it. Now we all understand. And if you want to watch it the rest of the time and stay awake, you go ahead. Okay, it's perfectly all right. If he stings you, I'll give you permission to holler. Okay, all right. And if he don't, let's just keep on going. All right, because what's Satan trying to do? This is what Satan's trying to do. He's tried to kill Christ from the very beginning, since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. How did he try to do it? Well, do you remember Noah and the flood? The whole world became evil. What did he want? If he killed every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the nation, upon the earth, then what would happen to the lineage of Jesus? He would be dead. Oh, do you remember Moses when the children of Israel went down to Egypt? What happened? Every child from 2 years of age, every boy child, was supposed to be thrown into the Nile River. Ah, you remember Herod in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus was born and they couldn't find him? In the New Testament, Herod sent out a word saying every child born in Bethlehem, 2 years and below, shall be killed by the sword. What was Satan trying to do? He was trying to kill the Lord Jesus. And he thought he had him there after the Lord's Supper. In the time of the past, Satan thought he had Jesus dead when he was on the cross. For 3 days, Satan celebrated. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? Now, but you can understand when this is happening that Satan is really attacking Jesus. And who is the nation? It came out of the nation of Israel. So therefore, Satan is against the nation of Israel. But God is on their side. Tell me something. How does a nation with 5.2 million Jewish people, the whole nation's around 7.1 million, but around 5.2 are Jewish people, and there are 200 million Arabs surrounding that little nation of Israel of 5 million. How do they survive? How do 200 million, how does 5 million survive against that? How do they do that? Can't be but one thing. God's hand. Exactly right. That's the only thing that can be. And so therefore, we understand here that God is definitely in control. Now, if you don't think that the Arabs would like to kill him, listen to this. I quote this out of an article that I listened to. It said, One Arab woman sacrificed her son to Allah. And she said, because I love my son, I encouraged him to die a martyr's death for the sake of Allah. Jihad is a religious obligation encumbered upon us, and we must carry it out. I sacrificed Muhammad, that's her son, as a part of my obligation. I asked Allah to give me 10 Israelis for Muhammad. Allah granted my request, and Muhammad made his dream come true, killing 10 Israeli settlers and soldiers. Our God honored him even more in that many Israelis were wounded. How does a mother do that? Saying to her son, I want you to commit suicide and to go and blow it up. Even though they will claim, oh no, it's not, you shouldn't do that. But they will always use the word when they talk about suicide, and the Muslims who say that not to, they will always use the I word, and the I word is Israel. Why? Because they've got a passion against Israel. I love Israel because God loves Israel. I love Israel because Satan hates Israel. And I want to be on the people, I want to be on the side that God loves. You see, there is a support of Israel. There is a sabotage of Satan. But I want you to also know that there was a spiritual fight going on. This thing really gets exciting right here. In verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God. How did she fly? How did she move into the wilderness? Could it have been American airplanes? I don't know this, okay? I don't know, but this is what I do know. This is what I do know. A woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,260 days. And that's 3.5 years. That's 42 months. That's 1,360. Remember? You'll hear this terminology throughout all of the New Testament and even in the book of Daniel. You'll hear that 3.5 years or the 42 months or the 1,260 days. And so right here, this woman begins to flee. And now, when this begins to happen, there is war is going to break out. Verse 7. Man, I like this. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in heaven a place for them any more in heaven. Now, let's kind of get this. You really got to... Somebody, we were talking about Revelation yesterday when Laura and I was out looking at a place and talking to the salesman. He said, you know, he asked my wife, he had the audacity to ask my wife a question right in front of me. And he said, I told him he was thinking about Revelation, teaching Revelation, and he said to her, he says, do you understand what he said? Or what he's saying? And you know what she said? Sometimes. Yeah, that was pretty good, you know, sometimes. So therefore, when we begin to study the book of Revelation, we really need, that's the reason why you need to make notes. We brought it up Friday night. Did you know what? 95% of what we're teaching you this morning, it will be forgotten by Wednesday night. 95%. Isn't that great? That makes preachers get excited. You study all week long, 95%, it's gone. Oh, well, if you make a note along the way and look at the Scriptures and you go back to the Scriptures, then all of a sudden God will bring this stuff back and it will become a part of your life. So much that you will be able to say, God loves Israel. You will be able to say, Satan has created a sabotage against the nation of Israel and sought to destroy Christ. And then you will see, hey, look, here comes the foe. Here comes the warrior. Here comes the spiritual fight. It's going to be on two levels. One, it's going to be the level of heaven. Verse 7, war in heaven. Michael fought against him. Hey, where's Satan today? Where's Satan today? Satan is alive and living on planet Earth, and today Satan has access to heaven. Satan is standing before God, and he is accusing you and me night and day before God. He's got access. Well, was Satan kicked out of heaven? Absolutely. When he said, I will be his God, he was kicked out, but he was given access. Now, there's coming a day in which Michael and the archangels are going to say, Lucifer, Satan, Red Dragon, that's it, buddy. You can bring your 1/3 angels against us, and you can try to make it to the throne of God, but you're not going to do it. And the Bible says there was war in heaven. Michael and his archangels, they stood strong, and the Bible says there was now no place left for Satan in heaven. The accuser was kicked out before the throne. So, now, when he says that, verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So you see that war that was going on? You think it's over with, folks? We ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, there's a war that's going to take place. Then verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Wow! What's happening now? Satan bombards here, planet Earth, during this period of time. And he is coming with all of his demons. And verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Oh, I love this. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, what is happening right here? The war has taken place. The battle is fought. Satan is kicked out. Now we're seeing in verses 11 and 12, there is war on earth. And when this war on earth takes place, who's going to win? believers are. I didn't say they're going to save their life, but the believers are going to win. And here is an age-old, timeless principle. You want to have spiritual victory today? Do you want to defeat Satan today? Do you want to have life today? Do you want to be an overcomer today? This is how you do it. And we're looking at verse 10. Let's slip on down to verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." How do we do this? The believer's conquest is by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus won the victory at the cross. Satan's back was broken at the cross. And so today, because Satan's back was broken at the cross, the Bible teaches us that if we will walk in the light as He is in the light, we shall have fellowship with God. And He says, if we will confess our faults, He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. How do you overcome Satan? How do you have victory today? You've got to have the blood. And the blood is the cleansing of the sin. Now, if you want to say, no, wait a minute, I want to have a little bit of sin here and a little bit of God here, it don't work. It don't work. If you're going to have victory over the devil, you've got to take care of the sin issue, whatever it is. Is it lust? You've got to take care of it. Is it stealing? Is it lying? Is it cheating? Whatever it is, you've got to take care of it. Because if you don't take care of that sin issue, you will not have victory over Satan and over his dupes and over his demons and over the onslaught war that is taking place even while we live. Number one, there's the blood. Number two, and by the word of their testimony. Now, what we're looking at right there is the believer's confession. In other words, give your testimony. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus save you? Yes, He did. Tell that in the face of Lucifer. When Satan comes along and starts attacking you, say, Satan, listen, buddy, I am bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. As Jesus rose from the dead, I'm going to rise from the dead. And Satan, I belong to Him. I don't belong to you. Get out of here. Folks, it's time for believers to rise up and to tell Satan and take charge of this. You're covered by the blood. You've been forgiven. Now share your testimony in the face of Satan. Share your testimony in the face so that you might have victory. Tell him like it is. Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Has He saved you? Has He come to you? Remind Satan that at Calvary he was defeated. Tell the devil who you are. When Jesus died for you, when Jesus rose from the grave, when Jesus ascended, you ascended. And tell old Satan he's a liar and a pervert and to get out of here. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Folks, we got to get in the battle. We can't just lay down and say, Satan, just kick us, stomp over us, do what you want to do. No, folks. Because of Jesus Christ, we have victory. We have victory by the blood of the Lamb. We have victory by the word of the testimony. But look at the believer's courage. The Bible teaches us, and they love not their lives unto the death. They love not their lives unto the death. How far are you going to go for Christ? Folks, we got to go all the way. All the way. Jesus said, any man that hath put his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. Folks, once you put your hands to the plow, you got to stay focused. We will win victory by the blood and the cleansing. We will win victory by the word of the testimony, God's word, your testimony. And we will win victory when we have the courage to stand up in the face of evil and slap evil in the face and look unto God. Now, we've got a support of Israel. We've got a sabotage of Satan. We've got a spiritual fight in heaven and a spiritual fight on earth, which you and I will be fighting every day of our life. The last thing I want you to see is the strategy of Israel. Look in verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man. And to the woman was given two wings. That's the two wings. What do you think about two wings? Aircraft? I don't know what y'all think about. I think about a big old plane. And to her was given two wings, an element of evacuation, that she might fly into the wilderness. This is a place that is prepared. And she shall be nourished, protected, provided for a time, times, and a half a time. Times, 1 year. Times, 2 year, and a half a time. 3.5 years. We just talked about it earlier, 360 days. We're talking about the same period of time. But now listen. When this occurs, when she seeks to go out, her strategy, the first thing in her strategy is there's going to be affliction upon the nation of Israel like the world has never seen. And we saw this in the book of Daniel. I won't spend time there. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And he says, when you see this, you get out. You get out. If you're on the mount, if you're on top of the roof, you don't go down and get your clothes. You get out of there. You get out of there. When this affliction kicks in, you get out of there. You be evacuated. You move in front of the storm. And so therefore what he did, he provided a method and a means for them. And then the strategy here was not only the affliction that occurred, but there was the fight of Israel in verse 14. And the woman went with the two wings that she might fly into the wilderness, into the place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. See, those names keep coming back. Red dragon, devil, serpent. Who is she fleeing from? She's fleeing from the devil, nation of Israel, 144,000, we know. And during this period of time, we see that strategic flight that has taken place. And then all of a sudden, this dragon gets so angry. Here's what he does. And the serpent, verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Can you see that? I don't know what this flood is. Flood many times, water many times means a massive amount of people. That could be what the flood is. It could mean that it was opened up for some element of water. We've seen the storm surges. I don't know what it was. But this is what I do know. This woman, Satan was trying to destroy her, the nation of Israel, in verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Whatever that surgence was it water, was it fire, was it nations, was it people, whatever it was that was going after the nation of Israel, the ground opened up and swallowed it. God is in control. And finally, he says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In this strategy, we see why is Satan fighting so hard against him? Because they have turned their hearts to Jesus Christ. Has the nation of Israel turned their heart to Jesus Christ today? The answer is no. Is there a new day coming? The answer is yes. Is a temple going to be built in Israel? The answer is yes. Are 144,000 Jewish evangelists going to be saved? The answer is yes. Are there going to be two witnesses, two prophets that rise up that will proclaim the name of Jesus? And the answer is yes. Will Satan seek to attack and destroy the nation of Israel and all that dwell therein? The answer is yes. Will Israel be protected by God? And the answer is yes. Yes. What is going to make the difference? The difference is they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay. We've gone a long ways and we've carried you through a lot of things happening. But the real question is this. Are you ready for the battle for today? We see the future. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's pray for the nation of Israel. For God said, let's bless those. He will bless those that bless Him. He will curse those that curse Him. But let's also, as we bless the nation of Israel, let's also prepare for the battles that we must face right here today, tomorrow, and the days to come. Can we be victorious? Absolutely. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of the testimony, and have the courage to love not your life unto the death, but you will give your total, your all to Jesus Christ, and you will be victorious. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you, we see these massive things that are happening. They are going to happen. It's just a matter of not if, but when. It's just like we knew the storm Ike was coming. Just didn't know exactly how or when it was going to hit and all these things, but yet when it did, it brought its disaster. And Father, we see that these storms are coming. We don't know the day nor the hour nor the time, but God, we know that when you proclaim it in your calendar on your clock, then it will begin. Father, help us to love the nation of Israel. Help us to love one another. Help us to win the victories that are around us today. Help us to stand firm. Help us to tell the devil who he is and to get out of here. And God, help the people here to walk strong all the way, even to the end. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we share together with a time of invitation. We always like to give a time of invitation. And it's several reasons why. One, there may be those who need to give their life to Jesus. They see the truth of what's going to happen. They want to give their life to Jesus. They want to make preparations right now. We encourage you to do that. We encourage you. How do you do that? Just come down front and say, "Brother Robert, I want Jesus." And we'll go from there. Others may be wanting to join the church. We encourage that. Others may want to come to the prayer altars and start speaking some things and taking business with God right there. I don't know what your need is this morning. Whatever it is, let's be prepared. Let's win the victory now. Let's tell Satan to get out, and let's tell Jesus to come in. Okay, let's stand together and sing.